everybody, and welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, the podcast that still can't believe it's not butter. I'm your host, Pete Pollack, and this week we're looking at Cimarron. And I'm not exactly sure what Cimarron is. It kind of made me want to go out and get some donut holes. It's got something to do with the Western frontier. And one of the characters is in the movie is actually named Cimarron, but that doesn't seem to be the reason they named it that. I'm not really sure where the name came from. But I guess it doesn't matter, because it's a good movie. And really, to be honest with you, this is the fourth movie that I've watched as part of my review all the Oscar Best Picture winners project. And easily, in my opinion, the best one. So that's pretty exciting. It's nice to have a winner come along. Not that some of the other ones didn't have their good points, but this is definitely the most entertaining movie to watch, in my opinion. So Cimarron is it's a Western, which puts the Westerns at one and war movies at two and musicals at one. So the war movies are still winning. But the Westerns are starting to catch up, which is exciting. The movie is about, it begins with the Oklahoma land rush of 1889. And I got to tell you, the land rush scenes are spectacular. Now, you can say whatever you want about the decisions, the political decisions that led up to the land rush. And really, I have no opinion or very little opinion, but you know, the whole thing that they're taking Indian land away and things like that. But so I guess I do have an opinion and it's somewhat negative, but the scenes of the land rush are just amazing. I mean, there are hundreds, maybe thousands of people riding horses, and they're in carts, and there's one guy on one of those big bicycles with a giant front wheel in the middle of it all, which is not a position I'd want to be in, but and people running, and it's just unbelievable the amount of activity. You know, they fire the guns off at noon and everybody just takes off, and this one guy, Yancey, who's the main character, he takes off on his horse, and he's got his piece of land that he wants to get all staked out. And he gets pretty close to it, probably 50 yards away, and he has to kind of take his horse through a ravine, and there's this woman right behind him, and she tries to get her horse through the ravine, and her horse falls and breaks its legs, and she's laying there, and he goes back and he helps her, and she asks if he can shoot her horse to put the horse out of its misery, and he does that, and in the meantime, she hops on his horse and steals his piece of property. Or, you know, the piece of property that he had his eyes on. So he kind of heads home back to, I don't remember where he came from. It doesn't really matter because it's not really in the movie much. But he has a wife who's very upper middle class or maybe even rich. And he gathers her up and he says, well, we're going to go to this town of Osage in Oklahoma and we're going to make our home there. And they do that, and he heads over there, and bringing the family, the wife and kid, and one stowaway, and they get there, and he goes to set up a newspaper. And it's a little Citizen Kane-ish in the whole newspaper thing. He wants to do what's right, and he's going to print the truth, and he's going to be, you know, he has a lot of big plans. And he pretty much does that. Now, this guy Yancey is... he's kind of an interesting, well, he's a hero guy. He's a total hero, okay? In every classic sense of the term, there is nothing pretty much that this guy doesn't do absolutely right, with the exception of how he deals with his family, which I'll get to in a minute. But he's a lawyer, and he's defending the downtrodden and whatnot. He's a frontiersman. He knows everybody. He is friends with everybody. He solves problems. He puts the bad guys in their place, and he's a crack shot when it comes to a gun battle, it turns out. But unfortunately, he has a propensity every few years to wander off and kind of leave his family hanging there. And when I say he wanders off, I don't mean like, you know, grandpa wandered off and we found him, you know, a few hours later. I mean, this guy disappears for years or sometimes decades, apparently, at a time. He's gone. And he just kind of, you know, he's just got the wanderlust. He's got to go out there, and there's reports that he may be in Cuba with the Rough Riders, and he's doing this and he's doing that. You never really know what he's doing. He's just gone. And then he shows up and it's like, hey, honey, I'm home. How's it going? Big kiss. The wife puts up with a lot. I'm kind of thinking that if I was gone for a half a decade or more, I'd bring flowers. But that's just me. Some people can make it work the other way. I'm thinking it probably wouldn't work for me. But hey, you know, more power to you if you could just show up and be like, hey, I'm back. Deal with it. That's pretty much what he does. But he is a genuinely good guy. Aside from the whole family issue thing and the disappearing father thing and leaving his wife to raise the kids and run his newspaper that he set up and deal with all his issues, aside from that, he's a great guy. And he helps everybody out in town, and he even preaches a sermon at one point in a big tent. When they first arrive in this town, there's just a gambling casino and a tent, and there's a few buildings under construction, and he becomes like the de facto preacher for everybody, including the Jewish guy, which is kind of cool. And that brings me to another point. When I read about this movie online a little bit beforehand, and I said I wasn't going to do much research, but I was kind of looking something up and I came across it and I read on it. And there were some people complaining about some racist attitudes in this movie. And I have to say that I think they were being a little simplistic, because there are characters in this movie who have racist attitudes. But just as in Huck Finn, the point is not that people, the point of view is not racist. This character stands up for Indian rights. He stands up for the little black kid who is the stowaway, who doesn't want to stay with the rich family back east. He stands up for a lot of people. He even stands up for the local lady of ill repute, who it turns out is the woman who stole his land. because she had a shady background, the neighbors kind of ran her out, and she ends up back in town and nobody likes her. And he ends up taking her side. So the guy's a good guy in every way, except maybe the one that counts the most. But that's the main focus of the movie, is what happens when he shows up and what happens when he's gone. It really doesn't the movie doesn't follow him at all once he disappears, and then he comes back and then he disappears again. The movie focuses more on his family and what's going on in this town. And I will say that another really interesting aspect of this is watching the town change, because the town starts off in the early 1890s. When they head out there, and the movie covers about 40 years. And in the beginning, the town is this, there's nothing to it really. And over the years, they show the progress of the town. And it's actually pretty impressive, because I don't know what they did when they made this, but it looks like they built a town and then they put it through all the changes that a town would go through in 40 years. So, all the same buildings are there, or many of them, but you know, you can see that they even have a gun battle at one point where the characters are in the trenches that they're putting in the street, where they're putting in the sewers. And the movie has nothing to do or nothing to say about sewers, but the trenches are there. Maybe they were left over from one of the World War I movies. I don't know. But the trenches are there and these guys are fighting in them. And you can see where everything is, graded and torn up, like the streets are torn up. It really looks like the Tri-State Expressway, which I take to work every morning, kind of. Only the Tri-State is a little wider and maybe not quite as smooth. But it's pretty amazing. And then by the end, the town has become a much more modern city with giant buildings and everything. And the way they shot it to tie all that in together, it was pretty impressive. They obviously got their money's worth out of the set people in this. Bad things about this movie. I'm going to say that the sound is bad, and this is more, I'm sure it's not the movie's fault. I'm sure it wasn't bad in the year it came out, but the copy, the DVD that's out, there are parts where it becomes really difficult to hear the sound and what's going on. A lot of static and noise and whatnot. And so that wasn't too happening. The other thing of note is once you see the opening scenes of this movie, you can see what the cast of Blazing Saddles was doing before they did Blazing Saddles. Obviously, it's not the same people, but wow. Mel Brooks just nailed every cartoonish Western character type cliche that you can think of is in this movie. You know, the guy with the bowler hat and the guy with the giant mustache and the little head and the neck that's shaped like the state of New Jersey. And all these people are in there and they look goofy and weird, but there they are. And then, you know, 50 years later or whatever, Mel Brooks is using the exact same look in all these people in Blazing Saddles. Oh, and one other thing, I don't know if this means anything, but it's the hero guy, Yancey. They keep pointing out that he's got a white hat. And I kind of wondered if this was maybe the first movie or one of the first movies where the main character was wandering around in a white hat and he was the good guy, because they got that whole, you know, white hat, black hat thing. Just something that occurred to me because they were making such a big deal about the fact that he walked around in this white hat and people seemed to think it was kind of goofy. So this may have been the origin of that, but I have no idea. It doesn't really matter. The point is, this is actually a genuinely good movie. I'm going to give it a solid, a very solid rent it. I'll hold back on a buy it only because the sound quality gets a little annoying sometimes. But if they could come out with a release that was really cleaned up, you know, come on guys, we got digital technology nowadays. If they could clean that up, I would say this is a buy it. It's a very entertaining movie, and it's got drama, it's got a little bit of comedy, it's got good characters, and it was definitely worth watching, and this is one that I'm going to recommend that you guys go out and see. Next week, Grand Hotel, a 1932 movie about a bunch of people crammed into a hotel. You just can't beat that for entertainment. I have no idea if it'll be any good, but I will know by next week. If you need to contact me, well, hi, who needs to contact me? Oh, I guess some people do. You probably know, but if you want to contact me, you can reach me always at movies@bignoisybug.com. That's movies@bignoisybug.com. Don't forget to make it plural. And until then, have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.